comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hi, welcome to the Okla Ed Review Podcast. I'm Scott Hazelwood. You can find me on the Twitterverse at Teach From Here. And my co-host today is Aaron Barnes. Aaron?
Hello, and you can find me on the Twitter sphere at ELynnLLL. That's ELynnLLL.
Just side note before we dive into all things Okla Ed, exactly how does this Twitter handle become you?
Okay, I know. And so part of me feels like it's been this way for so long, I shouldn't change it. But like in college, it was 11L, but people freaked out and they still couldn't get it. And then my email was hacked. And I don't know why. ELynn is like my nickname, Aaron Lynn. And then it was 11L, but whatever.
Okay.
So, whatever. How's that for an answer?
Sounds great. So who hosted our Okla Ed chat this past Sunday?
Okay, at Blue Cereal Education. And for those of you that don't know, he is Dallas. He teaches at Union High School. No, Union Intermediate High School.
Teaches the ninth graders, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And he is just funny. And if you aren't following him on Twitter, you probably should, at Blue Cereal Education.
He has also got a website, bluecerealeducation.com. You want to sign up to get that into your inbox because he is quite witty with his literary writings and all things education wise, I guess. I mean he's quite liberal in what he shares on his site with the variety of things that he discusses. Very entertaining, and his writing style is quite loaded with sarcasm and for what I would consider truth.
For me, I feel like some of it's a little bit of whining, but I think that's what makes you and I a great team on this. So, some of it I feel like is whining. Sometimes I think he's like four words written away from having a heart attack, but he is so freaking funny.
Yeah, he is hilarious. So the questions then that Dallas came up with for this past Sunday were several different versions of teacher cliches, but not from people outside the education world. These were cliches by teachers for teachers, and he had several of them in there. So basically, with the Okla Ed chat, there's 8 to 10 questions, and for this particular chat, each question had two pieces, whether it was true or whether it was crap. So the thing is that we want to find out is what is true about each of the cliches that we're going to talk about, what is crap about each of the cliches, and he had a quote in his blog about this that I loved is when he was talking about the crap part, is it alive from the pit of teacher hell? Which I thought was hilarious.
That's good.
Question number one, Aaron.
Yeah. So question number one is truth. Education is the filling of a pail. Is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. And so with this, I kind of felt like in our chat, we were all to say whether we agreed or didn't agree, but or like tell why we thought that was true. And then with question 1B, tell why we also thought it was crap. So I am a see both sides of the fence type person. I usually ride the fence. And so for me, I felt like I could answer each one of these as a truth and as a crap. What do you think?
I did the same thing. I felt like most of the cliches that were up for discussion had truth and crap to it. And it just depends, I guess, on your point of view. Like, I think teachers in general want to light a fire, but on the other hand, there's a pail there that needs to contain the knowledge. So I don't know. I can see the balance.
Right. I saw somebody refer to the pail being the things they need to know for that test. Mm-hmm. But then the fire being what is their passion in education.
So. Right. Right. So if we can figure out that part, because each student is unique, if we can figure out that thing that really sparks them, then hopefully they'll go on their own and just use us as a guide. Right. Isn't that the goal?
I would say so. I mean, I feel like you need to have a reserve, obviously, in order to go further with the fire or the passion. So having a pail filled is a necessity when you're talking about students in education.
Right. Okay, question two, truth or crap? Students don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Okay, so I, again, see both sides. Part of me says a little bit of truth because, you know, I need to see a connection as well, but it doesn't necessarily have to be personal for me.
Right. I think this tweet sums it up. It's from at Shelby Jr. 3. Warm fuzzies and good vibes and being human-y is like my jam. So this reminds me to love them when they're unlovable, which is a good sum up because that's what you do when you teach.
But, and then I also see the other side, and I said this in my tweet out, and I talked about it with you earlier, but golly, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Wonder Years. Ben Stein is probably one of my favorite people, like humanly and actor. He's got the one character, but he plays that one character so well, and he's just so dry. And I just want to hear more of him because I'm waiting for him to break a little bit. And so I love that guy. And I would listen to him all day long, even though there is no real knowledge of whether or not he cares. But for me, I feel like it would play because I'm just waiting for him. He's so dry. I'm waiting for whatever he's going to say. And for me, he's got me.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Something that I had shared at this point in the chat, too, is sometimes, we have to be strict and appear uncaring to the students in order to guide them where they need to go in the long run. And so, you know, I've had conversations in the past with students that go, oh, so-and-so, they can't stand me. They hate my class. I'm like, actually, that's not true. That teacher spoke very highly of your class. That teacher has great expectations for you. And so I think sometimes perception with children and students can have an impact on that.
Okay, so question 3, truth or crap. If we teach today's students the way we taught yesterday's, we'll rob them of tomorrow.
I think it's truth and crappy. My take on this one sort of gets my passion lit a little bit. We cannot teach the same way we teach today 5 years from now. Things are just going to be different. Like pedagogy needs to be sound, of course, but We need to use the tools available to us as teachers. So I see a little bit of truth in this one, although I don't necessarily like the phrasing that Dallas chose for this particular question.
Right. So on the crap side, though, and you're in higher ed, and so most of your students come to you with their math facts. But in the lower ed side, I feel like rote memorization is still necessary. They've got to memorize those math facts. And so how do you teach the memorization? Well, I don't know. Were you being silly or were you being sarcastic with your calculator comment?
No, we did have some back and forth there, Aaron and I, during the chat on this part. And mostly I was just taking a dig at her for the rote memorization part. I think it is important that we be able to crank out math facts and things like that, but I also think it's important, like, once that's established, let's start using some technology to support that now so that we can do more with what we just learned.
Okay, so I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah, so I was mostly trying to give you a hard time. But there's a couple tweets that came out with this one that I wanted to share. One from Mrs. Beck 25, and she said the key word here is teach with today's tools. The tools of the late 1800s and early 1900s are completely different than the tools from the day. The tweet that came in a couple right behind that was, being stuck in a rut or unwilling to change means opportunities are lost. And that comes from at DJ Thornton. And I think that's true too. When we just get so stuck in a particular rut, we refuse to look at what's around us. I think that can be very dangerous.
No, I definitely do too. I mean, we've got computers, we've got iPads, we've got calculators, and they need to know how to use all of those things too, because they exist and they are part of their world.
Right. All right, question number 4. Teach me and I will forget, show me and I will learn, involve me and I will understand. I pretty much on this one taken a position of meh, I don't know. It just depends on what the topic is and how it needs to go. Involve me with playing golf so I can learn it, but you can just teach me how to use something else and I'll be fine. It just depends on the nature of the topic for me.
Well, and I get that too. If the kids know how to problem solve and know how to get involved, I can see that being good, but there are just so many things that come into play. If a kid has never been asked to be involved before, sometimes you're going to have to take a step back and not have the expectation that they're ready to go. And you're going to have to teach them how to get involved. And so there's a lot more to this, I think. It's kind of where I feel like I have an edge in the education world, I get to keep my students. If they're satisfied with me, they get to re-enroll with me again, and I get them for next year. So all the groundwork I lay in the first year, we get to build upon in the next year. Whereas in the typical brick and mortar classroom, I only get those kids for a year, and then they move on to the next teacher. And who knows what the next teacher is going to do with them, and who knows what the teacher before me had done with them. So I feel like I do have an edge there. I can get way more involved in the involving them than maybe some have in the past, than some do in the traditional setting, just because I know what they've been through before.
Right. A couple tweets here that I want to read out with this one. It is, this is from Chris Quinn 64 says, "It is the act of doing that the greatest learning can be found." And at Tutelaney says, "This is true. It is important to involve students, but also misleading."
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Who said that one?
At Tutelaney.
Okay, and that one is your advisor, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
So higher ed guy. And then he followed that up with, "Getting stuck in the past is bad."
All right, so truth or crap, students are digital natives, teachers are digital immigrants.
This actually sparked a blog post out of me. I think there's a lot of truth in this because of just the nature of where they grew up and how we grew up. So you and I, Aaron, we're fairly close in age, and you know, I listened to 8-track tapes and vinyl records when I was younger.
Oh, wait, I don't know how close in age you think we are, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're close enough that you know what an 8-track is.
I do.
But our kids today would have no idea what to do. If I gave them an 8-track, they may recognize it because they've been to the cool retro shops, but they wouldn't know how to use it.
Sure. And so I am going to take another approach again with the little kids. And I know that it's super easy to hand a little kiddo a telephone and let it be the babysitter of sorts. But I know a lot of parents who have got kids entering school these days who have not done that because the doctor says it's not good. Reduce the screen time, you know, chill out on screens. And my sister-in-law, whose daughter is in kindergarten this year, the very first time this kindergartner took a benchmark test, it was on an iPad, and the kiddo failed it. My little niece just did not do well, and I let her borrow an iPad at Christmas time, and for about 2 or 3 months, she was, you know, playing with it. They just took benchmarks again this last week, and my sister-in-law like called, and she was just so pleased. She said, you know, "We're pretty sure the technology was what got in the way." And so I do feel like as they get older, obviously, and have way more experience with that technology, they are immersed. Everything is going on around them. But there are quite a few kids that come to me even, and I am way more knowledgeable in the technology than they are, but it's because I've given myself those professional development opportunities. And I would have to say that you're probably pretty much, in the same boat if you were to go back to middle school, maybe elementary school. Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, but you and I are, we're trying to incorporate all this stuff. So I think that separates us a little bit from a general view of educators. I think a lot of educators that participate in Oklahoma Ed tend to try and incorporate a lot of ed tech. At MPS Technology shared that for this one, it's crap. It's justifying our fear of tech. And I think some of that's true. But here's another deal, and you and I have talked about this, Aaron, with Snapchat. Like, you don't have a Snapchat account and you don't see a need for it, and that's fine. That's where the kids go. And they're trading snaps back and forth that you and I would never send ever in our wildest dreams, right?
Right.
But on the flip side of that, they grew up with that. Like, that's part of their culture. I mean, that's where they live. And so what if I were to use Snapchat then to tweet out the learning objectives for the day, or to to give a teaser for a lesson that was coming up, or did a quick, you know, three snap sum up of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Now I'm utilizing it in a completely different way, and in a way that's different from how these immigrants have seen it, because I'm kind of trying to steer that direction back towards using this for something for the greater good.
No, and I love that. Just so you know, I do love that. I am taking a pretty conservative stance on the Snapchat just because of the crazy things that could be sent with it. I don't want, and this is just personal here, I don't want to send a message that to me that that's acceptable, even though I really, really, really want to use it the way you're saying. I just know that 70% of the world out there is using it not for the greater good. And so I just don't want it on my phone, you know?
Got it. Question six was, failure is the opportunity to begin again, this time more wisely.
Okay, so actually I've read none of the tweets for this, so I'm going to let you go first on that one.
Well, there was a lot of discussion about this, and I think it kind of centered around a couple of different things. One, if we're working towards something unique and challenging and different and we fail along the way, that's a different sort of failure rather than sitting like a bump on a log, an open mouth breathing situation and failing just for lack of doing.
Right.
And so following the chat at this point became something where I feel like people just kind of migrated into these two camps. If I use the wisdom from the fail, then good for me, and that's important. But by not taking a risk, by not trying to do something different, by just playing super conservative or just being still, that was not an appropriate way to fail.
No, and to me, I mean, failure has to be where you find your mistakes and then pick up and move on. I think, isn't it the shark is the only animal in the world that can remain still and still be, I don't know where I was going with that. I think not taking risks so that you don't fail is a huge mistake. And it's a huge mistake for us more than in the real world, I think, because we are modeling behavior. And students need to see us fail sometimes too, so that they know that failure is okay and you can move on. So I do feel like this one is full on truth if you are able to pick up the pieces and keep going.
Right. Mrs. MC Reading says, we must model that failure is a gift. Don't fear it. Face it. Our room should be a safe place to fail.
Totally.
I think I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah. No, I completely am too. All right. Question seven, truth or crap? I teach for the outcome, not the income.
I don't know. This is a crazy question because I think a lot of teachers would say that. They do teach to, and they said that in the chat, we do teach to have that impact on students. My response to this particular question was, did we take a vow of poverty in the process of wanting to be a teacher?
Right.
I recognize I will not be Mark Zuckerberg as a teacher, but it would be great if I could take my family of five on a reasonable family vacation with the salary that I earn.
I totally agree there. I do feel like it's crap. I think it's time that teachers do get looked at as professionals and start getting the income. And we've had discussions on this, you and I, again, in the past before, too. The outcomes are great. And Anthony Purcell just shared a great student story coming back and saying that the student appreciated his teaching and such. And I thought that was great. And that makes it worth it sometimes. But then, just like you said, but I do still want to go on a ski trip at least every other year, you know, and my husband and I both are teachers. And if it weren't for the opportunity that we had with our school, I don't think that we'd be able to do that every other year. I mean, I think that would be too much to ask with the income that a typical teacher makes. And so I don't think that we should have to do it. I feel like we deserve the income as teachers in this profession, but I don't think it can only be about outcomes, because outcomes don't pay the bills.
Right. At Allie Beth said, I love being a teacher. I also love having bills paid with a little extra money left over so I can get some ice cream. I think in Oklahoma, there's too many stories of teachers working extra jobs even during the school year just to make ends meet.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, I know several teachers who are also adjunct professors in the evening, or who, you know, work at Walmart on the weekend. And, you know, I get living within the means, and I get finding a way to create a lifestyle that is, you know, becoming of your income, but 30 grand doesn't do much. And you know what I'm saying? We've got degrees, we've got student loans and such to pay, and you just can't do it all and raise kids that can be in sports that cost money and such while doing this alone.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and the last question from chat was favorite teacher cliches. One said buy us for us that wasn't mentioned. And so one of the ones I just had it here is, this is from @edu_Sanders70. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. My job is to make him thirsty.
That's really good.
I thought that was a really good one. And, there was one other in here that I was trying to look for. A BMW can't take you as far as a diploma. So I thought that was interesting.
I had never heard that cliche before, but that makes sense. So
there you go. Okay, Aaron, what was your boom sauce #boom sauce tweet of the night?
Okay, so it was when we were talking about filling pails and lighting fires at Edge Blogger. Rob is so funny. I think that he did it best. He's got, you know, a burning United States on fire in this picture. It says, some students seem to be covered in asbestos and are difficult to light. But we also have to be careful who we give the matches to.
I think that's hilarious. My #boom sauce tweet of the night goes to Rick Cobb, and he had a picture of Michelle Pfeiffer from the, I believe it was the Dangerous Minds movie. And his tweet was, sometimes we take caring to extremes though and become film tropes that lead to subpar Coolio songs. Which, Gangster's Paradise though, I mean, come on, that's the only Coolio song I know.
Well, tell me though, when it comes on, don't you get in like super teacher mode and you want to put your blazer on and then like get chalk all over your hands?
It usually comes on when I'm running, so I want to run a little faster.
So what's next on the Okla Ed chat?
Okay, coming up this week at Sunday, please join us Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will be moderating the chat this Sunday, and it's all about challenging yourself as teachers. So a lot of times we get comfortable with that thing that we've been doing for 5 or 10 years, and that might be a really good thing, but is it time to challenge ourselves and tweak it up and make it nice? I don't know.
Wow. And so maybe this will pull at some of the heartstrings of the teachers who just haven't pulled that other piece of technology in or whatever. I'm really excited. I think even the Ann Becks of the world who are app hoarders and the Vanessa Perez's who have every single piece of technology out there might find some value in challenging themselves. So I'm excited to see what other teachers across the state come up with here.
I think it'll be really exciting. So, well, thank you very much, Aaron, for our joining me. And we look forward to more of these to come every week, I hope.
I look forward to breaking down the tweets.
Yeah, this will be a good time. Until next time, we'll see you every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. #OklaEd.
You're doing fine, Oklahoma.